Now, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, the verses that we have this morning are verses of chapter 9, verses 25 to 28. Verses 25 to 28 of the book of Hebrews. Years ago, when I used to run a little glass and glazing business, one day, through my letterbox came a very large envelope with some plans for a house. And what they wanted was a quote for the glazing of this property. Well, I looked at the plans. I got some good idea of what it would cost. But I thought to myself, I'll go and have a look at the house that is being built. So I went to the road, to the number of the house. And the house was not there. I went and walked up and down the road looking for this house. And suddenly I just stopped. And I said to myself, Gayton, you are thick. The reason why you can't find the house is that it's not been built yet. You've got the plans, but they haven't started building the house. Now, when we read the book of Hebrews, we see that in the Old Testament, God made a plan. He told Moses and Aaron to make a tabernacle. God gave them the plans, but that wasn't the real plan. They built the tabernacle. But the tabernacle itself was the plan of something far greater. And that plan, obviously, was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. The tabernacle, and I think I spoke about this last time I was speaking at the beginning of chapter 9, was all wonderfully fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus. The ceremonial law of the Old Testament was to teach us about Jesus Christ and about the salvation that he would bring to this world. Now, of course, we've seen this as we've studied chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, verse 11. It says, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then verse 24, where we began our reading. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, as we'll see next time we study in our studies, forget the chapter headings, they're man-made, but it would have been a continuation of the same theme of chapter 9. You remember how chapter 10 begins, it says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. And remember verse 4 we ended on, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. And the writer is describing the wonderful reality of the Lord Jesus coming to fulfill everything the Old Testament had promised. So we've got four verses this morning, verses 25 to 28. Four verses, and I've got four things to say. And I've got a title, and this is my title. 4 days in God's calendar. Now, of course, we all know that God hasn't got a literal calendar as we would have. But he has got a time plan. 4 days on God's calendar. Now, the first one I want to speak about in verse 25. Look what it says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Now, the writer has in mind the Day of Atonement. So this is our first point. The first day is the Day of Atonement. Now, perhaps some of you are not familiar with the book of Leviticus, but one of the great days in the calendar year of the Israelites was the Day of Atonement. It was on the 10th day of the 7th month. It was when the nation of Israel met with God. Now, if you want to turn back to Leviticus chapter 16, it would be helpful for you to look at some of the things I might refer to. But you'll have to trust me. I might say things and you'll say, where does it say that? Well, you'll find it there in the chapter 16. So chapter 16 of the book of Leviticus. It was on the 10th day of the 7th month. Now, there are three things I want to observe for the first part of the Day of Atonement. Number one, it was a solemn and serious day. It wasn't a party. There would be no work done. It would be a day of fasting. No food would be eaten. And all the attention and all the focus would be upon the Lord and what was happening in the tabernacle. And that's the first one thing. It was a solemn, serious day. The second thing was this. It was a day when the nation remembered their sins. Sins of the past year. Sins individually, but sins particularly as a nation. They remembered their sins as a nation. Wouldn't that be amazing if Britain was to stop for a day and remember their sins of the past year? Well, this was what God had told the Israelites to do, to stop on that 10th day of the 7th month and remember their sins. But there's also a third thing. On that day, all attention would be upon the high priest who would offer a sacrifice for their sins. He would atone for their sins. He knew that the blood of another must blot out the sins of the nation. There's a lot more detail about the Day of Atonement, but I'm going to tell you now three things. If you look at Leviticus chapter 16, did you remember how it started? The Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. Now you can read about this event in Leviticus chapter 10. In chapter 10, you'll read about Nadab and Abihu. They went into the presence of God and they offered strange fire. In other words, the fire that God hadn't authorized. And they died before the Lord. And do you know something? That's a big lesson. All the detail we're going to find out in a few moments tells us this important point. You don't come to God on your own terms. You come to God on his terms. And that's what the Day of Atonement was all about. God was very particular about how men and women approached God. Those who are more technical may remember that I mentioned the regulative principle. We don't worship God how we think we ought to. We don't worship God how we feel. What makes us happy? We worship God according to his word. That is what we refer to as the regulative principle. We are governed by the word of God, and how we come to God, how we worship God, how we have fellowship with God, we do it according to the word of God. So there's a big lesson, isn't there, right at the beginning of chapter 16. You don't come to God on your own terms. You come to God on his terms. Now, there are three important things about the Day of Atonement. Number one, I want to first of all tell you something about the high priest. On that great Day of Atonement, the high priest would take off his normal garments. Now, those of you who know about this, you'll read about this in Exodus chapter 28. His normal garments were beautiful. In fact, the Bible calls them glorious. They had various colours and silver and little bells and pomegranates trailing on the hem of the garment. His garments were glorious. God had designed them. But on the Day of Atonement, he would take off those glorious garments and put on plain linen garments. Before he put them on, he washed himself all over, but they were very ordinary. You read about that in verse 4 of our chapter. So he takes off the glorious garments and put on plain, ordinary garments. And also, when he went into the tabernacle to meet with God, he went alone. He went by himself. Now, I hope you can remember those two things. If you don't, I'm sunk. He took off his garments, the glorious garments, put on plain, ordinary garments, and he went into the tabernacle alone. The second thing I want you to notice is the sacrifices. The sacrifices. The first sacrifice mentioned would be for the high priest and his family. The high priest would get a bull and a ram, and that would be the sacrifice for his sins and his family's sins. And he would sacrifice that bull on the altar of God and take the blood into the holiest of holies. The second sacrifice that is mentioned in our chapter 16 of Leviticus is an offering for the people. All right, have you got that? This offering is for the people. They would give to the high priest 2 live goats and a ram. We'll leave the ram for a few moments. But the 2 live goats. They would cast lots. One of the goats would be burnt on the altar as a sin offering. And the blood of that goat would be taken to the holy place by the priest. The other goat would remain alive. And soon that goat would be set free in the wilderness. And the important thing to remember is this. It would be seen no more. So that's something about the sacrifice. Now, can you remember that? Because it's quite important as I'm sunk. First of all, the priest would offer the bull for his sins. Then the 2 goats. One would be sacrificed on the altar, and the other one would be set free in the wilderness. The third thing I want to draw to your attention is this. Remember, when Aaron went into the Holy of Holies to meet with a holy God, Aaron was a sinful man. We know that. He made a golden calf, didn't he? He became an idolater. He sinned against God. But yet here is Aaron meeting with a holy God. Now, it's most important what Aaron brings into that Holy of Holies where God is. First of all, we notice that he brings with him some fire from the altar where the burnt offering had been made. And with that fire, he brings some incense. And Drevi is in the Holy of Holies before the mercy seat, before God. He puts some incense in the fire, and there's a cloud, sweet-smelling cloud of incense ascends. So the high priest cannot see the mercy seat. There's a cloud come between the mercy seat and himself. Now, that's the first thing. The second thing is this. He takes the blood of the sacrifices. And before the mercy seat, the very place where God's presence is, he sprinkles blood on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And Aaron has fellowship with God because of the blood. Now, isn't that amazing? A sinful man has fellowship with God because of the blood. Now, I hope you've got those three things. Can I just rehearse them to you, and then you'll see where I'm going? First of all, remember the high priest? He changes his clothes to plain clothes. Those elaborate clothes are taken off, just plain clothes put on, and he goes alone. The sacrifice is, first of all, first for the high priest, and then two goats. One dies on the altar. His blood is taken into the Holy of Holies, and the other goat is set free, and it is seen no more. And then two things stopped the high priest from being consumed in that Holy of Holies where God was: the incense that rose up like a cloud, and the blood that was sprinkled before God. This was quite a day, wasn't it? The Day of Atonement. Now, there's just one other little thing I've got to tell you about the Day of Atonement before I can move on. And it's this. It was repeated every year. Every year they had to go through the same ceremony. When the 10th day of the 7th month came, everyone knew it was the Day of Atonement. And that was the practice of the Israelites. It was a day when the nation came before God and they remembered their sins. So the first day on God's calendar, the Day of Atonement. Now I'm going to move on to my second point, and we move to verse 26. So if you can move back now to the book of Hebrews and chapter 9 and verse 26. Notice what it says. Well, then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now listen to my second point. The Day of the Atonement. The Day of the Atonement. Now, that word in our verse 26, it says, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, I hope you remember what happened on the Day of Atonement. We're now talking about the Day of the Atonement. And of course, I'm referring to when the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. This was the last altar. This was the final sacrifice. This is the only sacrifice for sin. Now, do you remember what the high priest did? Well, if I had a little quiz up, I'd find how you'd remember what I'd said. Do you remember what the high priest did first of all? He changed his garments. He took away those glorious, those beautiful garments. He laid them aside. And he put on a plain linen garment. Now, I'm sure you've worked it out. What did our Lord Jesus Christ do? He left the glory of heaven, where he was surrounded by thousands and millions of angels, where all was purity and glory. He laid that all aside and he came into our sinful world. And instead of being surrounded by angels, he was surrounded by hard-hearted men and women. People who blasphemed the name of God. People who had no concern for their souls, and they certainly wouldn't worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord of glory became the man of sorrows. The one who we should adore as God became a servant. The one who has immortality was prepared to become obedient unto death. This is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a stoop he made to come to rescue sinners in this wicked world. And we notice this wonderful little phrase in verse 26, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Do you remember the high priest now? Not only did he change his garments, he went alone into the holiest of holies to meet with God. He went alone. My dear friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary's cross to pay for our sins, he went alone. The world was hostile to him. Many of the disciples had forsaken him. There were certainly no angels with him, but he went alone to Calvary's cross. He bore our sins alone. He endured the wrath of God, which we deserved, alone. He endured the shame and the curse of the cross, alone. And our mighty Lord Jesus Christ secured our salvation alone. This is truly wonderful. No wonder the book of the Hebrews refers to our Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest. Not only did he offer the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. He went alone to Calvary's cross. And when he had finished the great work of our salvation, he ascended back to heaven to receive all the glory that was due to his name. Now, remember the sacrifice. Remember the sacrifice. The high priest, first of all, had to atone for his own sins, make a sacrifice for his sins. Well, you've worked this bit out, haven't you? The Lord Jesus Christ didn't have to make a sacrifice for his sins. He had none. But the Lord Jesus Christ came deliberately to make a sacrifice for the sins of others. Now, I'm going to teach you something now which thousands of professing Christians do not understand. If you ask them, what does the cross of Christ mean? Well, they would just say something like, God loves you. Well, that's true, but there's not much depth. I'm going to teach you now something, if you can grasp, will help you understand the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, remember the two goats? One of them went on the altar and was sacrificed to God. It was all for God. Its blood was taken into the holy place and it was sprinkled before the mercy seat. And you remember the other goat? Well, it remained alive. And someone took it out into the wilderness, let it loose, and it was seen no more. Now, to help you understand this, I'm going to give those two goats two names. Now, if you can get this, and you can get the picture in your mind, you might understand more about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ than many and many other people. The first goat we'll call propitiation. Big word, I'll explain it in a moment. Propitiation. The second goat we'll call expiation. I wish I could see your faces to see if you've really got that lesson. Have you got that? First goat, propitiation. Second goat, expiation. Now, the first goat, propitiation, is wholly burnt on the altar of God. Its blood is sacrificed, is sprinkled on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat in the presence of God. He was a propitiation. You see, our sins provoke God to anger. A lot of people, commentators and Bible translators, do not like this word propitiation. Shall I tell you why? Because it tells us that God can be angry with sinners. And he is. And he requires a sacrifice of propitiation to satisfy his justice, to satisfy his wrath. And that's exactly what the first goat is telling us. He was a propitiation to satisfy the anger of God. How wonderful. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a propitiation. The holy, sinless Son of God offered himself up to endure the wrath of God, which we rightly deserve. And he shed his blood to satisfy all the righteous demands of God. All his anger, those things we provoked him with. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the justice and anger of Almighty God. And do you know something? That's what's missing in a lot of gospel preaching today. Propitiation. We need to get right with God because we've offended him. And there's only one way. And that's by the Lord Jesus Christ and his propitiation he made at Calvary's cross. Now let's think about the second goat. Remember his name? Expiation. Expiation. The live goat is there at the door of the tabernacle. The high priest symbolically places his hands upon the goat. It's, as it were, to transfer symbolically the sins of the nation onto the goat. Now, I hope you've got that. Symbolically, all the sins of the nation are being placed on the goat. A man comes and takes him and leads him out into the wilderness, sets him free, and that goat is seen no more. Do you know what expiation means? It means when God comes and blots out your sins and washes them away, and they are seen no more. This is wonderful, isn't it? Now, that's the difference between propitiation and expiation. When I was a young Christian, we used to sing a little chorus. And it's got a good thought about our sins. Now, remember, we're not talking about propitiation. We're talking about expiation. It used to go like this. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God. My sins are gone. Now, that is wonderful teaching. A lot of Christians are troubled. The old devil comes along and floods your mind with past sins. You think about your failure and your wretchedness. But remember the two goats, propitiation and expiation. If you're a Christian, you're right with God. Your sins have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. God no longer looks upon you in anger because you're in Christ. He smiles upon you because he's your you're one of his children. An expiation. All your sins are washed away. Now I want to come to my third point. So that was the day of the atonement. My third point. The day of my appointment. The day of my appointment. Now, if you look at verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The day of my appointment. Or shall I say, also the day of your appointment. Remember, Israel of old, the Day of Atonement, it was a day that had been appointed by God. They had an appointment to meet with God on the 10th day of the 7th month. Every year, they had an appointment to meet with God. Why did God want to meet with them? He wanted to remind them of their sins that they had committed in the past year. It was an appointment with God to talk about their sins. My dear friend, you have an appointment with God. Sorry, I don't know the date of it, nor do you. But you have an appointment to meet with God. One day you will die, and you will enter the judgment hall of God. And God will want to talk to you about your sins. If you're not a Christian, that's a fearful thing. Lots of people say to me, when you're dead, you're done for. Well, that verse isn't teaching that. When you die, you go and meet God in judgment. If you're not a Christian, can I just say, you need to get right with God before that appointment comes. Get things sorted out. Confess your sin and come to the Saviour and trust him to be your Saviour. But if you're a Christian, this is a reality now, and it will certainly be a reality then. Now, do you remember when the high priest came into the Holy of Holies, a sinner in the presence of God? Why wasn't the high priest consumed by the holiness of God? Well, there were two things, weren't there? First of all, there was the incense. A cloud of incense came between the mercy seat and the high priest. Do you know something? The Christian. When the Christian comes after death before God, God won't see the Christian. He'll see something else. Just like that cloud of incense came between him and God in the Holy of Holies. God will not look upon the wretched sinner. The Christian is a sinner and they know it and they're wretched. But the God of heaven will look upon the incense. You know what it stands for? You see, the Lord Jesus, he lived a life of perfect obedience for you. And you will be clothed in his righteousness. And God will say, this is one for whom my Lord Jesus Christ lived a life of perfection. And this sinner is now clothed in his perfect obedience. Remember what else the high priest had in that Holy of Holies? The blood. When God the Father looks upon you, he'll say, my son, shed his blood at Calvary's cross so that this sinner might have all his sins washed away. Do you remember that lovely hymn by Count Sinnendorf? Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty, are my glorious dress, in flaming worlds in these array, with joy shall I lift up my head, bold shall I stand in that great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay, whatever fully absolved through these I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. That's a wonderful assurance, isn't it? And that will be a reality for the Christian when they stand before God. So you have an appointment. You can't change it. You can't transfer it. It's certain. You will meet with God. Do you know something? If you're not a Christian, you ought to think seriously. All around us at the moment is death. COVID-19. We don't know how long we've got. You may tell them, I have years yet. How do you know? You may have months. You may have weeks. You might only have days. You have an appointment with God. And you need to be ready to meet on that great day. So the day of my appointment. Now I've got one last thing to say and I'm through. We turn to verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. This is the day of Christ's second coming. The day of Christ's second coming. The climax of the Day of Atonement for Israel of old was this. There would come a moment when the high priest had been in the tabernacle and out the tabernacle and in again, and they're all waiting for him to reappear the second time. It was tense. Would he come out alive? Would God smite him? Would he be consumed by the wrath of God? But what a marvelous moment and what a relief it would have been when they saw the high priest reappear and come out and take off those linen garments and put back on those glorious garments. Do you know what the climax of salvation is? Now, you would have thought the writer would have spoken of the resurrection, because the resurrection confirms what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. But the great climax of salvation is this: when Jesus Christ comes again. And I'll tell you why. You will see every person that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed by his precious blood. And you'll see the church in its perfections. And it's all because there was a day of the atonement when the Lord Jesus Christ died. What a wonderful day that will be. We're thinking about the second coming again tonight. I hope you're going to read Daniel chapter 7. It's an interesting chapter, quite a hard chapter, but it's got a glorious thought. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Can I just make a few concluding remarks? Number one, Christ's atonement was the wonderful fulfillment of the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. This is where you see the beauty and the wonder and the inspiration of Holy Scripture. The Bible is no man-made book. It is God's book. It prepared the people of old to look forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And it shows us today all the wonderful things that the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. And it's, as you understand this, it establishes you in your faith. It gives assurance to what you believe. The second thing is this. Christ's atonement was final. It is never to be repeated. Did you notice our last verse? So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now we have to say this. This is one of the great verses which men of old reasoned upon. It cost them their lives. Shall I tell you why? The Roman Catholic Church taught that the Mass was a reenactment of Calvary, and that the bread, the wafer, and the cup became the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in a mysterious way. Of course, that is error. But do you know what they are saying? They are saying that Christ's death was not sufficient on the cross. And of course, that goes right against these verses in this chapter in Hebrews. Christ died once offered to bear the sins of many. And the third thing I want to say is this. Because Christ's atonement was final, it brings full assurance to the believer's heart that all, yes, all, I'll say that again, yes, all your sins were paid for. Think of that lovely hymn. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. 4 days on God's calendar. The Day of Atonement, the Day of the Atonement, the Day of my appointment, and the Day of Christ's appearing. Amen. Well, we're going to sing as our final hymn, lovely hymn 298, Look ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. Shall we bow before the Lord in prayer? Our gracious God, we thank you for our moments that we have spent together. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the greatness of the scriptures and the wonder of Christ's atoning death. May we all be sheltering under that great blessing that salvation is ours because of what Christ has accomplished for us. Do bless us each one. Pray that you'd continue with us through this day. May indeed we know a Lord's Day blessing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet abiding fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.